today on Real Radio.
There is literally not one event that needs to precede this thing from happening, the rapture. It can happen at any moment. Not true concerning the second coming, but concerning the rapture of the church any second.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a message called How a Church Ought to Go. Part 1 begins in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with verses 13 through 18. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. Paul now takes a break from instruction about holy living to teach on prophetic doctrines of the Bible. The return of Jesus Christ is a coming event that Paul shares in every chapter of his letter. His desire was to bring hope to the church that death was not the final act. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul put himself in the ranks of believers who await Christ's return. Our destination, where we're going, should be the Christian's utmost passion, and that is to forever be in the presence of the Lord. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
500 people saw the dead coming up out of the graves in Jerusalem at one time. What do you do about that if you're an attorney and you just settle this guy's a state thing. Hey, there he is. Lose your commission, I guess. I don't know. They're coming out of the ground. The bodies will come out. The word is not resuscitation. It is not reincarnation, which are non-biblical things. I was going to say events. They're not even true. They're lies of Satan, lies of the enemy. The word is resurrection. The body that goes into the ground, just like you put a bulb or a seed into the ground, that seed does not come. You don't plant the seed. Can you imagine if you took a grain of corn, stuck it in the ground and watered it, and 5 weeks later, there is a gigantic grain of corn, like 2 feet big, and that's all it is. You go up there and kind of gnaw on it. One big kernel. Oh boy. No, you plant the seed, and what comes up? The plant, the flower. Our bodies are like a seed. It's planted into the ground, but what comes up is a flower. You plant that ranunculus bulb, ugliest bulb you've ever seen, but I love ranunculus. They're incredible. You plant that bulb, this thing is so sick looking. You never think for your life that a beautiful ranunculus can come out of that bulb. You plant that bulb, and then that thing comes up, and it's like, man, that is not what I planted. And when God raises you from the dead, you never think for your life that a beautiful ranunculus can come out of that bulb. You plant that bulb, and then that thing comes up, and it's like, man, that is not what I planted. And when God raises you from the dead, you will not be looking the same, being the same. Even though your body will be resurrected, there will be an empty spot in your casket. Gosh, I'm talking to you like you're dead. In your friend's casket. Isn't that amazing? I don't believe it. It sounds like a fairy tale. I know. Isn't it great? It's going to happen. It's going to happen, man. I don't believe it. You will. You may be on the wrong side of the whole event, but you'll believe it when it happens. I hope you're on the right side. In 1 Corinthians 15, 52, Paul says, in a moment, in 18 thousandths of a second, the word is twinkling of an eye, in 18 thousandths of a second at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound and the dead, that's those guys, Paul says, the dead, not himself, the dead will rise incorruptible and we shall be changed. That is the believer walking on earth at the time of the rapture. Paul says in another place, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. A great verse over the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we'll be changed. And we'll be lifted up from this earth in a moment's time and changed. The word in the Greek is metamorpho. It's where we get the word metamorphosis. And that little caterpillar goes up your wall and spins the chrysalis, and you never think for a moment that that thing could be so beautiful and so airborne until that little thing begins to gyrate in the spring and explode into a new life. And what does it do? Fly away. God gave us that so we would understand metamorpho, the change that's coming. Isn't that tremendous? It's a picture for us. But we're not going to precede them. Jesus is going to come out of the sky with the spirits of those who died believing in him. Their bodies are in the ground. Their bodies will be raised. And in an instant, we're going to be right behind them, changed. And we're all going to meet in the air, in the atmosphere, and then be carted back to heaven in him. That's what Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 is all about. It's very exciting. It says in verse 16 here, for the Lord himself, that's interesting. We just heard a moment ago that God was coming. Well, that's right. The Lord himself will descend from heaven. Note this. Number one, with a shout. Number two, with the voice of the archangel. Number three, with the trumpet of God. Three revelations to the announcement. The shout of God. Can you imagine? Shout of God? Maybe it's something. I don't know. Maybe it's something like in Judges or Joshua. Remember chapter 6? The walls came down when God told them to shout. Read the fine print. In Joshua 5, there's a guy that leads them into battle whose name or whose title is given to Joshua as captain of the Lord's host. Come to find out, it's a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ in Joshua 5:13. He leads them into battle. And he says, this is how we're going to whip this thing. We're going to give it a shout. And not only that, we're going to shout and you blow your trumpets. Isn't that cool? And we'll take the city that nobody could enter. Hey, we're going to take a city that nobody can enter unless we're being led by God. And it's all going to happen with a shout and a trumpet. I like that. And this is the doctrine of the resurrection. Right before our eyes. This word shout is a military term. It's a cry of incitement, not excitement, incitement. It's a cry to incite an act. It's a military term, as I said, to rally an army or to issue a command. But it also says with the voice of an archangel. I don't know what that sounds like, but I bet it's pretty awesome because an archangel is not a guy to mess with. Whenever they show up in the Bible, people usually pass out. Pretty tough guy, and with the trumpet of God. Third and final point, and we'll wrap this up as quickly as we can. Third thing here, verses 17 to 18, is how a church ought to go in these days. Well, it ought to go in a rapture. That's how it ought to go. Here's us. He says, verse 17, then we, not those people of the future, not them. He says, we. We who are alive and remain, that is upon the earth, shall be raptus, rapturus, harpazo in the Greek, raptus in the Latin, in the English, it's two words, caught up. We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. People, listen. This is where we get the word rapture. It's simply Latin for the word that appears here in the Greek, harpazo. This, I told you last week, this word cracks me up. Harpazo. You know, you go to like Rendino's or somewhere and you get a, you know, the pizza and I want a little bit of harpazo in my pizza. That's what it sounds like. I like the word rapture better. I saw that maybe you're here today. I don't know. I saw last night coming home from the youth thing here Friday night. Saturday night, whatever it was, somebody had a blue van going down the highway, and then the license plate frame around the van was perfect. It says, I pray for my kids. And then on the bottom it says, I pray for rapture before puberty. Now that person understands the joy and the excitement of the coming of the Lord. Oh, God, please come now before puberty hits this home. Aren't you praying that prayer, those of us who have teenagers? It's too late, huh? It's already happening. Come back, Jesus. Even so, come quickly. We need to be raptured. By the way, people, you know how each chapter has had a verse that applies to the return of Jesus Christ for the church? This is it right here, verse 17. This is the fourth one. And of course, it's in chapter 4. It says, then we who are alive and remain shall be raptured, caught up. Paul put himself right on that rank. And to be caught up, you're going to want to jot this down. Caught up, harpazo in the Greek, it appears 18 times in the New Testament. And this is the meaning of the word. It's vast, so hang on to your seats. It appears in Matthew 13, 19, regarding the seed being plucked out of our heart by Satan if we don't stay in fellowship. The word is to be violently taken away. Satan will try to steal the Bible out of your heart by every bit of trickery he can and violently snatch the Bible out of your heart. That's why you need to stay in it. The next word, the next place where this word appears is in Jude 1, 23. By those being saved, even being pulled out of the fire of damnation, so to speak, the word means here, seized by force. God is going to come and take us away with great speed. He's also going to take us away, seizing us by force. In Acts 8:39, the word appears with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's all of a sudden, the word means as one would take possession of its very own thing or item or article and removes him quickly from the scene. So Philip was lifted away. He literally experienced rapture practice, Philip did. In 2 Corinthians 12:2, Paul speaks of his vision where he was caught up to the third heaven. That word, the same word, means to experience a change in location, to be moved. Isn't that great? And then finally in John 10:28, Jesus says that he will hold us in his hands, and he does hold us in his hands, and nobody will be able to pluck us away. The word is we cannot be snatched out of his hand, meaning that we are rescued in God. So the meaning of the word caught up, rapture, harpazo, means to be taken away by speed, to be taken by force, to become one's sole possession, to be moved from one spot to another, to be rescued from danger. That's what that word means. That's why we're so hip on it. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, for God has not ordained us to wrath, that is the judgment, the great tribulation period. Read the text carefully. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, we are to wait for his son from heaven. Wait a minute. We're to wait from his son? Wait for his son from heaven? I thought God was coming back for us. I thought the Lord himself was descending. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says it's Jesus. He's going to come from heaven. Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the judgment, the wrath to come. And he's not talking about the judgment of God in heaven. He's talking about the judgment of God on earth. Read the text carefully. And then in Revelation 3:10, Jesus says to the church at Philadelphia, the church that loves, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour which shall come upon the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. Very important. And time does not allow us to go any further. I want to leave you with this quickly and wrap this up. He says in verse 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Are you comforted by these words this morning, or are you bugged? I noticed some people got up and left a little early. I hope because they forgot to turn off the rump roast or something. I don't know. I hope it's not because they were bugged. Are you bugged by the return of Jesus? Look, none of us are perfect. You understand that. But if our lives are hidden in Christ, we're going up. Are you trusting in him? Are you leaning on him? Jack, is this thing really going to happen, you might ask? Of course it is. Jesus said it was going to happen. Captain Kirk's been doing it on Star Trek for 20 years. If Captain Kirk can do it, Jesus can do it. It's going to happen. I can't wait. And I want to drop this bombshell on you. According to, again, the great big word, eschatology, the study of prophetic revelation, there is literally not one event that needs to precede this thing from happening, the rapture. It can happen at any moment. Not true concerning the second coming, but concerning the rapture of the church any second. The Bible tells us it will be with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. I read this story this week, and I hope I am all cried out. I couldn't believe how much this affected me when I read this story. And I hope it blesses you. I guess before I read it, I should tell you that Paul didn't make it, you know. Paul didn't make it for the rapture. Just before he died, Paul said in 2 Timothy, he said, you know what? He says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. And the time of my death has come. Boy, he was longing for that rapture, you know? Paul says, I have fought the good fight and I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but to all of those who have loved his appearing. Past tense. In that prison, Paul was issued the edict that Paul, at sunrise, your head will roll from your shoulders. Nero's issued the decree, you become decapitated at dawn. So Paul sat down and he wrote the close of this great book, last words of his life. And he says, there's a crown laid up for me. Paul, we just told you, buddy, that your head's coming off your shoulders. How can you put a crown on a headless man? You see, Paul didn't let little things like losing your head mean anything to him, because he knew whose hands his head was going to roll into. So Paul didn't make it in the rapture. And we'll see him coming. The earth will put forth his body someday soon, and we'll meet him in the air. But this story comes out of Children's Hospital at USC, and I'm not going to make it on this thing. You're going to have to help me here. Children's Hospital, USC, here in Los Angeles, where Tony, a beautiful little black 5-year-old boy, had been faithful to undergo his chemotherapy treatments to fight off the cancer that had invaded his body. And his mother was all that he had. His dad had left him early in life when he found out that his mother was pregnant to Tony, never to return. And the doctor had broken to Mom the news that she had long dreaded to hear. Mrs. Roberts, he said, rather direct, but with a look of compassion, little Tony has 3 to 5 days at best. He's lost the war, Mrs. Roberts. He's fought longer and harder than any of us could have. Mrs. Roberts, his pain will unbearably increase, his memory will begin to fail, and he will soon assume the fetal position. And from that position, it won't be long. Or when he forms that position, it won't be long. Mrs. Roberts, Tony needs to be going soon. And in your way, the only way that you as mother can do, you need to comfort him the best way you can. And with that, he turned and he walked away. So mustering all the strength that she had inside of her and calling out to God for some extra, she walked into his hospital room that had become his home and held his bony little body and kissed his head that was once crowned with the blackest, curliest of hair that you've ever seen. And she told him, honey, Jesus is coming soon. I thought I had finished doing all this. Jesus is coming soon, sweetheart, and he's coming for you. You don't worry about Mama, because I'll be right behind you. But Mama, Tony asked, how will I know it's Jesus? You just listen for the bell. She said, Jesus will be ringing the bell when he comes for you. And with that, little Tony fell asleep in her arms. And 2 days later, very early in the morning, Her phone rang with the news. Mrs. Roberts, little Tony's in distress and we're losing him. And quickly she drove the 30-minute drive only to have arrived too late. Tony had slipped into eternity just as she pulled into the parking lot at USC. Asking the nurse who was with him at that moment, how was his night? She told of a very difficult struggle and terrible pain that kept him up crying most of the night. But she said she hesitated, though, to tell her the rest. Just when it seemed that the battle was the worst, right before he died, he became unusually calm and opened his eyes, and he said to me, "Miss Betty," that's the nurse, I assume, "do you hear him? Do you hear those bells, Miss Betty?" "I can hear him." And at that, he went away. Jesus says in the word that he will descend with the shout. Will you hear it? You may not. Depends. If you're waiting for him and longing for his return, Jesus said, "Therefore you also, please," he says, "be ready, for the Son of Man comes in an hour that you do not expect him." Lord, little Tony's story is one that's fleeting. It's a true event, but in a moment we'll forget it. But there's coming an event that shall never be forgotten, and that is your unannounced and sudden return. Lord, how many people will be left behind? We don't know. You know. But Jesus, you told us, few there be that enter in. Narrow's the path, and difficult is the way. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you will descend upon this body. And Lord, that you would cause any of us who are not ready to be ready. And while we're praying this morning, and maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ ever, and I don't know why you've waited. You think you've got a reason. How will your reason align with the event that is soon to come? While we're praying right now, if you want to receive Jesus, please don't be emotionally moved by Tony's little story. Be moved with the fact that the Holy Spirit's telling you that if my son returned today, you are not ready. And may that grip your soul, and may you run and cast yourself down and say, "My God, what must I do to be saved?" Well, it begins right here by you admitting that you're a sinner and you need Jesus to save you. And that you want to receive him and exchange your sin for his righteousness.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Live. Thanks for listening today. And if God is in us and with us, love will shine through us in all that we do. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you know that you can donate to help keep this broadcast on the air? Go to our website and simply click on the Donate tab if you'd like to support this ministry. You can donate a one-time gift if you'd like, or you can set up recurring donation. Your generous donations are what keep this ministry and Pastor Jack Hibbs here on the air. So if you do feel led from the Lord, you can donate. There are a few different ways. Just go to our website and find out more. Now, we've been telling you about the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. It's a free download, and once you have it, you'll have mobile access to all kinds of features and media connected to Real Radio. We've also made it real easy. We streamlined things quite a bit. Down at the bottom, you have a handful of tabs that'll take you where you need to go. For instance, the Devotions tab. Now, the Devotions tab takes you to Real Life Devotions with Jack Hibbs. And check out the Devotions tab once you download that Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. To find out more, pay us a visit at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.